While discussions about the state of Sacramento's music scene are seemingly never-ending, what's for certain is that there is no shortage of talent. We've rounded up a goodly bunch of it today on Insight Music. We'll start with Damien Verrett, a.k.a. So Much Light. He makes music that his new label has recently described as Bizarre and B. Damien joins us to perform and talk about signing to Anti Records. We'll recue Ben Adler's conversation with banjo player and songwriter Hannah Mayrie, which was recorded around the release of their intimate debut record, and Oak Park's Hobo Johnson, who burst onto the stage, seemingly out of nowhere, early this spring after releasing a series of DIY music videos. Beth Rujak talks with the rapper about his life influencing his art. And hey, we have recorded performances from all of our guests today, so I'm anxious for you to hear those. My name is Nick Bruner, and that is today on Insight Music. First, the news. This is Insight Music, a monthly special on Cap Radio. My name is Nick Bruner. I host Hey Listen, our weekly jaunt through pop music, past, present, and future, every Saturday night.
I don't even need my spells to shut it down.
And that is Damien Verrett.
I could stir the fire inside, breathe smoke.
As you can hear, swirling R&B loops frame his gentle, powerful tenor voice. Damien is 26 and has been making music in Sacramento under the name So Much Light since about 2014. I invited him to Cap Radio last week for an in-studio session and an interview. We start our discussion with exploring his first big break.
I think everybody gets like one really lucky cold call that will be responded to, and mine happened to be like an email I sent to the label manager at Anti with a demo I recorded. The label manager at Anti is this great guy. His name's Andy Calkin, and there are very few people like this in the music industry, but he's one of those dudes who will listen to like a demo and sign an artist based on that. Don't send him unsolicited material. He won't listen to it. I'm going to kind of paradoxically cross out that last statement.
So wait, so back up a little bit. So you didn't send it totally blind to Anti Records.
No.
You had a relationship beforehand. Did they contact you or did you contact them first?
My manager at the time contacted them.
I see.
So it wasn't unsolicited, but yeah. So he heard it and he liked it. And it wasn't like right off the bat, like, yes, we're signing this kid. There was some like back and forth of like, okay, like what does the next record sound like? I sent him some more demos. I went and met them, had some conversations, and
oh, so they're thinking even further out in the future then, like, so as opposed to like maybe like the one album that you're working on, and the, I mean, they're interested in that, of course, but they're also thinking like, what else?
Yeah, ideally we're like partnered and we're both along for the ride.
So when all that was passed and all that was done, what did that feel like to you?
Pretty surreal, just because I did grow up listening to a lot of bands on that label. You know, at that age too, I kind of felt like getting signed to a label was making it, and then that was it. And like, I didn't have to do any work for myself at that point, but that has proven to not be true. It definitely was like a huge burden lifted. I had just graduated from school. I was kind of having to decide if music was something I wanted to take seriously or if I could take myself seriously, like as a college graduate, like pursuing this goal. They kind of swept in like right when I needed them to.
That was nice of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can do the math in my head. Laying down, she'll be getting out of bed. I can do the math in my sleep. Was keeping you from me, baby. Why's it gotta be so complicated? And why I gotta go against the world to see you smile? Why's it gotta be so complicated? So, long as you like. Think it would be just to say goodnight. Hey, I can go as far as you need me. Just a stone's throw keeping you from me, babe.
The track is called Simple How I Feel, recorded live in our studio by Damien Verrett. My name's Nick Bruner, and this is Insight Music, a monthly special on Cap Radio. We're featuring some of the best in local pop this go-around, and right now, my conversation with Damien, who makes music as So Much Light, we're discussing his signing to the prominent independent label Anti Records.
Yeah, it opened a lot of doors from a production standpoint, just because I recorded most of what I had done up until that point in my bedroom, like in the closet. But it allowed me to go into like the nicest studio I've ever been in. And I got to meet the guy who's now my like engineer and like mixing engineer, Jason Cupp, who I wouldn't have been able to afford to work with otherwise. And now he's a really good friend and like number two as far as like producing these songs goes. That was the main thing. Just, I'm not going to throw down real money on, like, my music. I can't afford to do that. I was super broke. Still am broke, but.
So, besides being broke, what else remains difficult? Like, what hasn't changed, regardless of the fact that you're now on Anti?
I mean, it's still an indie label. It's not like it's a huge development deal from like Columbia Records or something, you know. So I still have to like build my audience, and I'm still touring in a really DIY fashion, you know, which I like because it's what I'm used to. I think the most difficult thing was realizing my expectations were not in line with reality and things weren't just going to change overnight. And now that, you know, it took a little while to like let that sink in and realize how proactive I still needed to be in all these areas that I thought, oh, that's their job now. Like, you know, it was a learning experience.
What were some of those expectations that you had that were maybe a little loftier than could be accommodated?
I think like press relations, I thought maybe there are people that like a label can just call up who are just gonna, you know, like, don't they know somebody at Pitchfork who's just gonna like review this song now? Like, that's not how it works. There needs to be some kind of momentum behind something before anybody will care to listen to it.
Well, good luck getting an interview at Capital Public Radio. I hear those guys are bastards. So.
Special episode, the kind you can watch with your folks. If it's something sentimental, anecdotal, gonna go through the motions again. She really likes the summer out that I had on the corner. Self-referential, confessional, gonna go through the motions again. Searching all over creation. Sweeten the tears, saccharine masturbation. Feeling special like a soul. That shoved in your throat. Oh, and while the moral fighter gonna go through the motions again. She really likes the rips her eye. The hammer of the bending slide. Can call the distortion better. Crank the levels. Gonna go through the motions again.
There are no shortage of hot takes about the Sacramento music scene. Damien, from where you sit, what gets you excited and pumped up? Who else is putting out good stuff that you'd recommend?
Definitely, and like, I don't want to give him more press because he gets so much of it, but it's got to be Frank and Hobo Johnson.
Oh yeah, we'll bleep that out.
Yeah, don't let him have any more. He's already glowing too much. No, Frank's amazing, and Hobo Johnson's like probably my favorite sack artist. Maybe ever, and he's going to, like, definitely skyrocket.
He's going to be thrilled because he's actually going to be a segment on what we're recording for right now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, so he's going to hear me say all this?
I hope so.
No, yeah, he's awesome. The pride of Oak Park, certainly.
So how about, like, the way the scene operates, I guess? Like, are you enthusiastic about where Sacramento is musically right now?
I'm really excited about, like, the artists and the content, but honestly, I'm not really, I kind of find myself feeling disappointed about like the venues and like the avenues through which people can have their music heard. I find a lot of unconventional spaces end up being sort of better shows and better situations for people. I don't know why that is. I think it's getting better. I think people are becoming aware, like somebody like Hobo Johnson going out and like packing Harlow's. People are like, okay, this is homegrown talent that can fill this room. Maybe I should like keep my ear to the ground a little more. So I think it's coming around. From my understanding, a lot of the problem is just like with permitting, you have to have like, what is it? Like one security guard for every like 25 people or something. the overhead of throwing a show like that. And then to make it profitable, you kind of have to sell alcohol. So then it can't be all ages. So then, like, you're cutting out a huge chunk of the potential audience. And at the end of the day, it shouldn't be about, like, selling drinks. It should be about, like, delivering the music to people. That's why people are just playing in their backyards instead.
So what is next for So Much Light?
I just put out the first single from my debut LP, Oh Yuck. The song, it's called Be Afraid, and there's a music video for it. You can check it out on YouTube. And we shot the video with these sisters in L.A. They're called Giraffe Studios. It's Juliana and Nikki Giraffe. So in the video, I'm dressed like a ventriloquist dummy. I pop out of a box, and I'm, like, becoming comfortable, like, as, like, a, it's like a Pinocchio coming to life sort of moment.
Like you're becoming a real boy.
Yeah, exactly. But I'm sort of, like, grotesque in, like, in a way, or just, like, I don't know. It's, I'm sort of, like, warring against my inner turmoil as this ventriloquist dummy. It's quite weird. I'm a monster.
Did you come up with that concept yourself, or is it somebody else's?
Yeah, it was the sisters, the Giraffe Sisters.
Oh, the sisters did this. Okay.
Yeah, and their inspiration was like the original Frankenstein, kind of. It's like really harshly lit. It's like very grayscale, but then like I'm like a pop of color inside of it. Another influence that they cited was Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. There's like a scene in that where like a doll comes to life. So it's like monster movie meets Pinocchio. Kind of David Lynch-esque.
That's a good time for that right now.
Absolutely, yeah.
And so did you sign off on that yourself? Did you go, like, kind of go over this with them and be like, oh, yeah, I like that? Or they just go, hey, you freak boy in the box.
I think that would have been a better pitch, but they were polite about it. If somebody tells me freak boy in the box, I'm doing it in a heartbeat. I'm a monster.
Damien Barrett, thank you so much for coming by and playing songs and chatting with us here at Cap Radio.
Yeah, thank you so much. It's been a lot of fun.
That's our in-studio performance and discussion with So Much Light. Damien Barrett on vocals, guitar, and samples. On drums was Patrick Shelley, and you can find him playing the Sacramento band Latour as well. There's a video of So Much Light performing with us online at capradio.org/insightmusic. We're going to take a break now. Back in a minute, I'm Nick Bruner. This is Insight Music.
Same talk three times. I wanna hear the bad news. And can I have the bad news? And who can know their own mind? Be as true as you can be. And if it's good enough for you, it's good enough for me. The screaming in the shadow.
Cap Radio, I'm Nick Bruner, host of Hey Listen, and this month, host of Insight Music, where we're putting the spotlight on some of the best in pop music in Sacramento. Banjo player and songwriter Hannah Mayrie has stayed busy recording and touring in support of their new album, Thoughts of the Night.
Clouds mount the sky.
May rejoined Ben Adler on Insight earlier this year as that album was being released. Adler started by asking about the most memorable story of where and how May rewrites a song.
That's a good question. There's lots of memories, definitely. Getting some quiet time is always good in the chaos of everything. And so sometimes it might even just be just a few minutes that you kind of have away from whatever's going on. There's a lot going on in the world these days, in our personal lives and in the world. So just being able to take a moment and kind of reflect is usually where my songs come from.
Do you always need to be out in nature to write music, or could you do it, say, in some random office building somewhere with fluorescent lighting?
I'm sure that I could do that, but I've definitely tried pretty hard in my life to find the balance of nature. I think we're put into boxes so consistently that we have to put the extra effort in to really being able to live our lives in a way that maybe as human creatures, as animals, that we naturally can live.
Is that why you've spent so much time on the road?
I would say probably yes. Definitely what started off as of more of just wanting to experience things and wanting to see more of the country. I had been across the country many times in an airplane, and I had never been across the country in any other way. So I felt like I had never seen it.
Flyover country, they call it.
Yes, they do call it that. But there's actually stuff there.
Yeah, a lot. And a lot of people. Lots of people. You know, do differ in views from folks on the coasts and urban areas.
Yeah, and people on the West Coast also, I think, in the cities would be very surprised that, there's a lot of parts of California and Oregon that resemble places in the middle of the country as well, with the ideology and even sometimes with the agriculture and whatnot as well.
So let's get to the music. Your first album released last month is Thoughts of the Night. Tell us about it and let us know what song you're going to play.
Well, over the summer, I recorded a bunch of songs that I've basically have come to me over the last 6 or 7 years, and I'm going to play a song called Nosebleeds. It's a fun song. It's kind of, it's lighthearted, and I like that about this song.
All right. Well, you've got your banjo here in the studio, and there it is. Yes. So I want to ask you what you mean by it's a fun song, but I'm just going to, let you share it through your music.
Cool. Misconstrued.
That's Sacramento-born singer-songwriter composer Hannah Mayrie performing Nosebleeds live in studio here on Insight. Hannah's debut album, Thoughts of the Night, was released last month. And thanks for sharing that.
Thank you.
On your album page at bandcamp.com, the Buy Now link is next to the words Name Your Price. And I'm curious why you chose to make your digital album available through a pay what you want model and whether you think that way of selling your music is sustainable.
I think it's really important that the music is available to everyone, regardless of how much money they have. People, especially with the traveling, people like to focus on like the fun stories and all that stuff. But really, it's actually like a form of homelessness. And a lot of some of my closest friends are people who don't have money to spend on that. Also, just people have lives, you know. So this music is medicine for people, and I want it to be available for people, like whether they're working and they're really every day putting the pedal to the metal, doing the things that they have to do. I want them to have access to this music as well. And also, I plan on still like selling the album and stuff like that, and you'll be able to get that from me at shows and different stuff like that. So yeah, I think that the most important thing is to keep the music flowing through the ether to everyone that it can reach.
We've just got a couple of minutes left, and so we're going to take the time to listen to a track from the album. You picked a song called Home. Tell us about it.
Home is a pretty straightforward song. Kind of the beginning really just first starts off with honoring the earth, which is what I think we should do every day, and honoring our home, this planet, and then kind of just goes on to just describe a lot of different places and ways to exist in home through community and through self. So
yeah. All right, let's listen.
Talking with Ben Adler. You can watch Mayrie perform in our studio when you visit our website, capradio.org. I'm Nick Bruner. This is Insight Music on Cap Radio. We're going to take a break. and be right back with Hobo Johnson.
Hello, my name is Hobo Johnson, and I have no clue what I'm doing in my life, but I wrote some songs about them, about it, and I hope you really like it. I hope you like it a lot. I hope you like it a lot. I hope you like it a lot. I'm not a nice guy.
He's not a nice guy.
I go to jail sometimes.
He goes to jail.
You're listening to Insight Music on Cap Radio. I'm Nick Bruner. Hobo Johnson calls his music Sad Boy Hip Hop. That's S-A-D-B-O-I. It's not the whole story, however. Frank Lopez was born in Loomis in the mid-90s. He grew up in Sacramento. He started making music and sharing it on SoundCloud when he was 15. His first album, 1994 Toyota Corolla, is titled after the car that he lived in for a time. Lyrically, Hobo Johnson is funny and dark and optimistic. He raps over tracks by the band The Lovemakers, which are his friends Derek Lopez on guitar, Jordan Moore on keys, Ben Lurch on drums, and David Bays Lopez on bass. It was a lot of fun to watch the 2017 Sammys as he took home 4 awards, including Best New Artist and Artist of the Year. Beth Rujak spoke with Frank earlier this month to talk about his inspiration, his love life, and recent success in the Sacramento music scene.
I started making music when I was 16 or 15. I think it was 15. But I was going to John F. Kennedy because I grew up in Loomis. And then my dad had different marriages, I guess. And, like, didn't have any friends. I was really weird and bad at, like, socializing, I guess, which I'm still kind of bad
at.
Was
that different compared to your other school?
I grew up there, so I, like, knew people and they, like, had to socialize with me because I knew them for a while. But, like, here, I was just bad at it. I just didn't feel like talking to anyone. So I was playing video games a lot, which is very unuseful in life. So then one day I was like, well, I should do something productive, you know, with my life. So I, like, sold, like, the game I had and then bought some headphones and a little keyboard and started, like, making music on the computer. And then was really, really bad at it for a long time. But it was, like, what I hoped for. It gave me, like, that teenage hope that's very necessary. So just kept doing it, posting on SoundCloud. No one liked it at all. It's fine.
Only the music, or were you singing then too?
It was only music at that time because I would try to do poems. I was trying to rap back in that day, which was it was really bad. It was no truth in it. It was just like the typical hip hop bravado. Kept doing it. Friends would make fun of me. Oh, you're trying to be a rapper. You're trying to make music. Blah, 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 blah. And then I went to juvenile hall for like a amount of time. And
you know how that just sounded. I kept making raps. Friends said I was bad. And then I went to juvenile hall. Something's missing in the middle of that story.
I was getting in trouble a lot. I kind of like strayed away from music. I moved back to Loomis and got into like a group of friends and we would drink a lot. So I was drinking a lot.
And you're like a sophomore, junior
at that point
school?
I was a junior. Okay. Yeah. Just got in with the wrong crowd, drank too much all the time, would go to school drunk or whatever. It was pretty bad. And then kept going and getting worse and worse and worse. And then I had to go to juvenile hall because I had like a DUI and a bunch of drunken publics and whatnot. So I go into juvenile hall and there I was just thinking, you know, that's all you do is just think. That's the whole point of it, I think. So I was just sitting in the cell and I would write a bunch of poems and I would just think like, what am I going to do once I get out of here? You know, what is the point of my life? So then there's a group called Auburn Hip Hop Congress, which is based out of Auburn. They do like hip hop things for the community. They're a very good group of people. And they brought like 3 rapper men.
And then juvenile hall?
To juvenile hall. Yeah, wow. To talk to all of us. Yeah.
Had you ever met anybody that really was a rapper?
No. I mean, kind of like one of the guys that they brought went to my old high school. Chana.
You're tapping the table like it's a keyboard. Yeah, you know that? Do you notice that you did that?
Yeah.
That's not uncommon with people who play keyboard.
Right. So then they brought one of the guys I went to high school with, and he gave a story. Like, I used to be in juvenile hall, and now we open for you know, Too Short and like Tech N9ne and all these things. It was super cool. So it was really inspiring to hear. And then at that moment, I was like, yo, that's what I want to do. Like, I am, you know, before I wanted to do it, but now like I am going to do it no matter what. Like, no, I'm not going to get a job. I'm not going to try and go to school. Like, I just want to be a musician. That's what I want. So I spent the rest of the time just thinking, mulling that over, and then got out and had to live with my dad. And it was really just rough. He moved in with another woman. I just had to like go from juvenile hall, which I found this very structured place, this very like stable place mm-hmm. for like one of the first times in my
Isn't
life.
Isn't that interesting to say that? The juvenile hall gave you that?
Yeah. And then I was thrown into this very unstable, like I needed to do all these things. In juvenile hall, you don't need to do anything. You just sit in a cell. You just need to be quiet or like respectful.
You recorded some songs here at Cap Radio in our garden in the evening. I want us to first listen to your song, Romeo and Juliet, because I love the way it begins. It's wild.
Thank you.
but then that truthfulness about the relationship is so real, and I think people of all ages can connect to it.
Sweet. Let's do it.
It feels so good.
Never mind.
Oh, that's my stuff right there. That's the ticket. Give me the ticket. I love tickets, and that's what I want, tickets. I'm too emotional. Good luck to my future wives and their future lives. Without me, you guys will do great. I'm sure that I've prepared you for every guy you'll date, and every guy you'll marry, and every guy you'll hate. It's the lullabies I sang out of tune, that's probably what did it. Or my twin size mattress that I had since I was 7, that we have to sleep on whenever she spends the night. And if she falls off again, she'll find another guy to like, which is Romeo and Juliet. But getting drunk and eating Percocets, but just to ease the stress, but soft with light through yonder window breaks. It is the east, but Juliet just puked off the balcony. How romantic. Nothing like getting drunk and getting manic on a mother freaking Monday. I brush the bangs behind her lovely little ear as she describes in detail how the end is truly near. Wow. And I'm sure that we could do this for forever, or until we drink the poison because she sees some cloudy weather, as Rosaline lies in bed seething wide awake because a burning love for Juliet only took a day. Yeah. And if Romeo and Juliet continue to be married, then there's half of a chance that their kids will get embarrassed when all the kids at school all talk about their parents. And Romeo Jr. has to say they're not together. And Jr. will dream of the day when he's a man, and what he'll do to avoid that 50% chance of his kids feeling the way he feels. He'll probably just stick with the Netflix and chill. Dear Shakespeare, could you write a happy ending, please? Could you write a happy ending, please? We just deserve a happy ending, please. Please. In every sting from every teardrop, from every ring at every pawn shop, I'm not missing both my Christmases, though family would be nice. In my dreams, my kids are happy, and I know that they won't mind one Christmas. Sing it with me, one Christmas. Sing it with me, one Christmas. Just one Christmas. But dear mom, conversations from a couch haven't ever felt the same. Since you looked dad in the eye and you told him that things are about to change. My mom was made from Adam's rib, and the marriage went south when the snake came back and asked my mother out to dinner. And my dad found out and asked my mom what that's about, and she said, oh, it's nothing, but dad loves to shout really loud. Loud enough to knock the lamps and dressers to the ground. In my memory, I could hear Chopin's nocturnes playing in the background. A slow train wreck, you close your eyes but forever hear the sound. And boy, it's tough, because that's the sound of people falling out of love.
That's Hobo Johnson, and the song is Romeo and Juliet. Yeah. How's the Romeo and Juliet thing going?
I kind of, all right, I guess. I don't know. It's okay. A girl I love moved away to another place of the world, and I'm trying to deal with it and not sleep as much.
It seems that none of this walk is really coming easily to you. I don't know to what degree you're putting hurdles in front of yourself or life is just giving them to you. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. It's hard if you try to guess that, it won't make any sense because whatever's going to happen is going to happen. To think that you know what life's doing is, I think, a little too much. But I think all those hurdles or whatever just give you more life, give you more experience, more thoughts. And that'll always help in music, you know.
How old are you now?
22.
Can we go back and fill in a couple pieces in the story?
Yeah.
When you were 19 and the story of you being born in the Toyota Corolla happened.
Yeah.
Had you been kicked out of the house?
Yeah.
So you went to live in your car.
Yeah.
And you said that not only was it your home, but it really was where you were born and now house dwellers.
House dwellers.
Seem like another planetary species right, or something.
Right, right. And that's what, I was going to ride that super hard and that's who I was going to be. Like, I was the guy who was born in a Corolla and now I'm like, everyone else is like these weird aliens. But I kind of ditched that. But yeah, so I was making music at that point, was very good. And then I needed to grasp it and really be like, this is, you know, like, just go super hard. I was, I think, half-assing it before that.
So what does that mean in the car? Like, what was happening in the car? How are you living and how are you grasping it?
Yeah, so I, like, wanted to make an album in the car.
Oh.
So I made, like, my first album. You can't find it anywhere at the moment.
It's cool.
But, yeah, it's called Hobo Johnson's 1994 Toyota Corolla. And I just made an album in my car. I would go to the library and make stuff with a little keyboard. I would go to the laundromat and eat chili in the bathroom and then make beats on top of a washing machine. Just write lyrics whenever I could. That was the first Hobo Johnson thing. You know, I didn't have a name before that.
From playing on the keyboard and trying to write lyrics to when it really was merging and you knew you started to have something, when was that time and what was that?
I was working full time at like a stupid pizza place, and I was going to school for music composition at Sac City. And then I started writing these songs that I had like a somewhat good response to. Like, people were like, yo, this is really good. I just felt it. I felt like this, I could feel that these are good. I can feel that like people are gonna like these finally after like 4 years of no one ever liking. I was like, yo, I think this is like my time. I could feel it in my soul, like I'm ready. So I dropped out of college and I quit my job that day, and all these songs I've made in the past like few months, I decided to go show them to everyone. So I would go to open mics where I used to have to go to school. I would go to open mics that night and I would street perform all day in Old Sack and then go to open mics at night, and I would just play these songs that I've wrote. It started getting crazy feedback, and I would play and I would get like a standing ovation or something insane. Like, that's when I realized, like, yo, this is real. Like, my dreams might really come true. Yeah, I just started selling, like, a lot of albums and making a living that way.
It's not a totally solo effort.
Nope, nope.
Even though it might seem so sometimes if you get caught in your own head too much.
I guess, yeah.
But who's your team? Who are your guys?
Okay, my team starts out with a band named Derek Lynch. Best guitarist in town, right over here, man. He is the nicest guy. He is the sweetest man. He's a very good guy. And it's basically like me and him going together on this. Like, he's the band leader. He's always in like the videos and whatnot. And it's like me and him are like the core of everything. And then we have a guy named Jordan Moore in our band. He's a local singer as well, but he's in our band singing and playing keys. And then Ben Lurch on drums. He is a terrific drummer. He's very, very good. And then David Baez Lopez on bass.
Let's listen to more music. How about Sex in the City?
Let's do it.
Hello. I'm not very good at intros, but you know what I'm good at? Making leftover food to eat. Beautiful people only live in downtown, in Midtown, and not around where I stay. Is it the brain that really matters, or the character that flatters, or dependent on their beautiful face? But if you're beautiful from birth, do you really have the courage of a woman picked on for a girth? Ever since she was a kid, and you know how kids work, up until she was a full-grown adult. Now, I'm not saying that it's real smooth sailing, but guys being nice doesn't hurt. And I'm not saying that they're perfect. I'm just saying that they're different. And the difference is they love to wear skirts. Sex in the City probably feels really, really nice. With hands placed on faces and twinkles in their eyes, Sex in the City probably looks really, really great. With a girl that's like a 10 and a guy that's about an 8, Sex in the City sounds like it takes place on stage, both moaning in key while Marvin Gaye sings. Sex in the City candles smell like great jobs and promising careers. My candles smell like fear, my roommates may hear. I have really bad back knee. I've tried everything you could possibly try. None of it works. And sometimes I give you rashes. So I'm not a baby maker looker, but maybe I am to a woman that really loves me for who I am, or maybe who I'm not. Either way, it's getting bothered and hot. Gross! Hey, missus, will you take me to a world where nothing else exists except the contents of our soul, and there we'll talk. You know, or Instagram DM works too. What a... If I look like Brad Pitt mixed with a bit of Jake Gyllenhaal and a bowl of David Hasselhoff, I wouldn't be at all. I'd be in Los Angeles. Or at your mom's house eating all the sandwiches. Sex in the City probably feels really, really nice. With hands placed on faces and twinkles in their eyes, Sex in the City probably looks really, really great. With a girl that's like a 10 and a guy that's about an 8, Sex in the City sounds like it takes place on stage, both moaning in key while Marvin Gaye sings. Sex in the City candles smell like great jobs and promising careers. My candles smell like fear my roommates may hear. And socks.
The song is Sex in the City by Hobo Johnson. What's working for people? What do you hear back from not only audiences, but journalists, people in the music scene?
I think they always just say that it's, like, honest. I think it always goes back to, like, unique. They say that it's, like, unique usually, and then it's, like, truthful or honest, or it's just me. It's really just me. They say that's just me talking about who I am and about other things, but mostly about just how I feel.
So how did all the challenges and the meanderings of your life help give you stories? Because that's what it's all about, right?
Is yeah.
The story and telling it honestly.
Right. Yeah, they just gave me more. I think at the base of everything, they just gave me more thoughts. All these weird, crazy things would happen to me. And I'm an overthinker by nature. I overthink about everything. Sometimes it's a little too much. But it just gave me more thoughts. It just gave me more, like, me time, I guess, to get deeper into myself.
It sounds like in high school, the drinking was because you didn't have a plan or a strategy or any grounding.
Yeah.
Where are you now at the ripe old age of 22?
Yeah.
With a foundation and grounding, what's working for you even as you've become so much more popular?
I think mostly it's probably like the fear of it all going away, even though it's not much. I mean, in the grand scheme, like, but just the fear of this uphill thing we're doing right now that's just gaining traction, it all just bottoming out, you know.
Is that because you remember how it was before and it was really hard?
It's sad, dude. It's sad when you release a song and no one likes it. And on SoundCloud, it gets like 20 plays in like a few days. It's sad. So, yeah, I'm afraid of it going back to that. I'm afraid of all these things I dream about now and hope can happen, never do. I think that's kind of like what keeps me going, that fear.
You're not saying I'm afraid of not having money. You're not saying I'm afraid of not having food or friends. It's really for you about whether people love your work.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it I don't know if it should be about that. More about the music. I just want to live a life where I get to see the world and be with my friends and play music that we wrote to people and every night, be excited and love what my life. I just want to like really, really love my life. And I do now, but soon enough, you know, it's going to get better.
Soon enough? Is something coming?
We're releasing an album like pretty soon. Once I like get these videos done and the cover art and like a couple other things. So right now I'm just all day Video, so music I can make myself, but video is like you need a groups of people, you need a team to do stuff, and it's hard trusting, or not trusting, but like counting on all these people. But yeah, soon enough, once we get all that stuff done, my soul will be clear.
That's Frank Lopez speaking with Beth Rujak about the rapid rise of Hobo Johnson. And that's also Insight Music for the month. I'm Nick Bruner. I host Hey Listen. It's Cap Radio's jaunt through pop music, past, present, and future, every Saturday night at 8. I hope you'll check it out. You can also find it online anytime you like at capradio.org/heylisten. Insight Music's senior producer is Jen Picard. Our managing editor, Paul Conley. We had help from Cody Drabble and Chris Remington. Our digital team includes Jonathan Iestis and Marnette Federis. Technical director Mark Jones, and Insight Music's executive producer is Joe Barr. Find videos from this month's performers as well as our very first installment of Insight Music at the website capradio.org/insightmusic. And thanks for joining us.